Yes, indeed it would. How about revival on a very personal, individual level?
Well, when I did the Bible, that's a study Bible on personal revival for Zondervan, they said we want a subtitle, and I said I would call it Practicing the Presence of Jesus. That's kind of the old Brother Lawrence. He was a Roman Catholic monk, and he's a Carmelite, as I recall, and probably, I'm guessing, in the 1500s, although I may be wrong on that. I think that's when it first came out, and he talked about practicing the presence of Jesus. Now, it's a lot easier to practice the presence of Jesus living in a monastery than it is living in today's contemporary American culture. Now, he happened to be a dishwasher for a lot of what he did, and then he would practice praying and practice thinking Jesus thoughts and such as he washed dishes. It's not easy to practice the presence of Christ, but it is something that is very good. And practicing the presence of Christ is saying, okay, I want that awareness of Jesus always to be with me, so that he is able to stop me when I start to do something that is maybe wrong. I start to act toward a person, to be short-tempered or whatever with a person in a non-Christian way. Jesus is there, and I want to say, okay, either I caught it early enough to act in a Christ-like way, or otherwise I caught it soon enough after I did it to say I'm sorry, not only to the person but to Jesus. But that constant practice of the presence of the Lord, I find it very hard. One of the things I'm working on right now, Dean, in my life, I get USA Today, which is the national newspaper. And I got to the place where I get cleaned up, and then I enjoy. I go down and get the newspaper and read it. And that began to interfere with my time alone with the Lord. And then I had to come to the place where I say, you know, Jesus, I really like that. I don't like interfering with my time with you, but I enjoy that paper. It kind of brings me up to date. So I kind of worked out a compromise. This is kind of silly because I'm talking to myself and to Jesus at the same time. So I said, would it be all right with you if I would learn the old habit that a lot of the saintly people talk about that I've never been able to master, that my very first thoughts of the day are of you. So when I wake up, I have trained myself to think about Jesus and thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the weather. It rained last night, whatever. And I like to practice your presence. And then I like to clean up. I won't listen to the radio when I clean up. I will not get the paper, but as soon as I get cleaned up, I like to read the paper. Then I'll pray to you about what's in the paper. And that. And at this point in time, I've worked out a compromise with him. And so I read the paper before I have my quiet time. And, you know, I usually get up pretty early in the morning. My wife gets up earlier than I do, but I get up about 5:30. So I get enough time to relax and do it all. And I don't have a problem reading the paper, being done with it pretty quickly, and then going to my time in the scripture and then in prayer. But I'm having a dickens of a time trying to make my first thoughts about Jesus. I wake up and I think about a zillion things, and then I'm going through my day, cleaning up, and oh, man, I forgot about you. You know, so it's hard. Anything that relates to practicing the presence of Jesus in your life is countercultural to the American system. It is what is cultural is as soon as you get up to turn on the TV or to turn on the radio or to start reading the newspaper, you know, whatever. I think that the Lord may say to me after a while, it's not working, David. Why don't you still try to make your first thoughts of me and then have your time in the scripture, then prayer, then read the newspaper? It's not working real well for you. I don't know. But anyway, I'm constantly in that situation of saying, how do I work this thing around with you being what's most important to me? And I haven't mastered it yet. I don't have that many years yet to live. So I got to learn from my mistakes, but I'm in the process.
At least you're thinking about it, because the reality is that many believers aren't even giving this a thought.
I think about it. I think about the end of the day a lot. Mm-hmm. I tell you where I'm thinking most of anything in terms of practicing the presence is I'm thinking about it priority-wise. I'm saying I only have so many days left to live. I'm, you know, 74 years old. How long I have, I don't know. But my older brother has Parkinson's disease. Not Parkinson's, he has Alzheimer's. I have a brother-in-law with Parkinson's. And I've been fortunate health-wise, but I don't know every day, you know, I don't know how many days I have. So the big thing I want to do, Jesus, is to make sure that you see me accomplish the priorities that you had for this day. So as I look at this day, if I'd say, Jesus, which is most important to you above everything else? Now, sometimes that's a part of my prayer. I find that what's most important to him is not what is most important to me. And I say, are you sure? You know, and I, he doesn't talk out loud. I would say, it would be a lot easier working with you, Jesus, if you'd talk out loud. Because I'm trying to hear your thoughts and know my thoughts. Part of practicing the presence of Christ for me is to say, what is his priority? And at the end of the day, I do find it brings me great joy to say, I didn't get everything done. And there were a lot of interruptions today that I did the very best with that I could. But did you notice, Jesus, that the thing kind of I felt we came to agreement with as I was praying was that this needed to get done. I got that done. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, huh? For as slow as I am, I did that anyway. And that brings me great joy. So anyway, all that is a part of the practicing the presence of Christ and just trying to give concrete illustration as it works out, at least in my life.
Yeah, it seems key to, at the end of the day, spend time with the Lord to look back over the day, kind of examine the day, and see, give an accounting, if you will, to yourself as to levels of obedience or accomplishments, willingness to bend your will to his and so forth. I think that's a good practice. As I drop off to sleep, I'll often be examining my day and praying and saying, thank you, Lord, for the day. And at least in my own life, sleep is not a problem for me. I know that sleep, some people struggle mightily with being able to sleep. It's just a horrendous problem in their lives. And I'm not going to say that it's because I end the day thinking about the day and analyzing it. But that's certainly been helpful to me.
Yeah,
it puts
great
to rest issues, and it also keeps me anchored to the fact that it's Christ who is in control of everything, and he's the one that's ordering my days. And like you, I don't know how many days I have left, but I hope that I'll be able to give a good accounting of those days. And I'm more keenly aware of that today than I was 30 years ago, and I think that's just a product of age. But it's something that the earlier that you become aware of the fact that every breath you take, every beat of your heart is a gift from God, and each moment has preciousness and has value, and we need to be diligent about how we use our time.
Yeah, very much so. You said it well, and that's all. If you say, what are we doing? We're practicing the presence of the Lord. We're making his presence felt in our lives in such a way that it affects how we live. And yeah, that's wonderful. What a privilege, huh?
A privilege indeed. Well, believe it or not, for our next podcast, we're going to move on from revival, and we're going to talk about some other important aspects of helping pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. The reason we've been talking about revival is pastors are an important element in the way that God has brought revival to the local church. And so we want to continue helping pastors. One of the ways we can do that is through our website. We invite you to visit sermoncoach.com.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of sermons on revival on that website.
That's right. There's a whole series of them. Sermon-coach.com. In fact, you can find on sermoncoach.com a host of resources, a lot of sermons that are practicing the very elements that we're trying to share with you here. So please come back and join us for our next podcast.